This is Torah 101. Once again, the music of the Sufi Music Ensemble. And we continue our journey through Bamidbar, the Book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 22. They traveled on from Kadesh, and the people of Israel, the whole community, arrived at Mount Hor. At Mount Hor, by the border of the land of Edom, or Edom, Adonai said to Moshe and Aaron. Now I should point out that Mount Hor is in the south area of the Dead Sea. Today it is on the Jordanian side of the Jordan Valley. Today it is known as Yabel Arun, which means the mountain of Aaron. It is still there, obviously, and it is located and identified with a monument in honor of Aaron, who we will see is going to pass away on that mountain. Again, it's on the border of the land of Edom, the descendants of Esau. Verse 24, Aaron is about to be gathered to his people because he is not to enter the land I have given to the people of Israel. Inasmuch as you rebelled against what I said at the Meribah spring. So God informing Moses that Aaron will likewise not be entering the promised land. Eventually we'll see that the entire generation that left Egypt will not be entering the promised land. The next generation, or the new generation, will, under the next generation leader, Joshua, or Yeshua, the ancient name is. Verse 25, take Aaron and Eleazar his son, bring them up to Mount Hor, remove the garments from Aaron and put them on Eleazar his son. Aaron will be gathered to his people. He will die there. In ancient times, you literally would be gathered to your people. Your bones would be placed with the bones of your relatives, your ancestors. To this day, it is so important for Jewish people to be buried near their loved ones and to visit the graves of departed relatives and ancestors. Moshe did as Adonai had ordered. They went up into Mount Hor before the eyes of the whole community. Moshe removed the garments from Aaron and put them on Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moshe and Eleazar came down the mountain. When the entire community saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned Aaron 30 days, the whole house of Israel. Upwards of perhaps 2 million people. It was a nation, more than just a group of people meandering in the desert. So Miriam, the sister of Moses, has passed. Aaron, his brother, has passed. And this is foreshadowing Moses' own departure and the departure of the whole nation, of that generation who came out of Egypt. Chapter 21, verse 1. Then the king of Arad, a Canaanite who lived in the Negev, that is the desert, heard that Israel was approaching by way of Atarim. So he attacked Israel and took some of them captive. Israel made a vow to Adonai. Israel being spoken of here as an individual, the nation as one. If you will hand this people over to me, they vowed, I will completely destroy their cities. Adonai listened to what Israel said. Notice that the people of Israel are coming in faith, believing that God is going to do what he has said he's going to do. To this point, it seems that the people of Israel had really substantial doubts as to what they were doing out there. Now they begin to apply faith and things begin to happen. Such an important lesson to learn, no matter what it is in your life. We prolong the blessing of God and the hand of God moving in our lives by just standing around complaining and worrying. Instead, apply your faith and start taking steps. Verse 3, again, Adonai listened to what Israel said and handed over the Canaanites. So they completely destroyed them and their cities and named the place Hormah, meaning complete destruction. Then they traveled from Mount Hor on the road toward the Sea of Suf, the Red Sea, in order to go around the land of Edom. Remember, the people of Edom, the king, disallowed the people of Israel to come through. Now they have to go around. But, it says, the people's tempers grew short because of the detour. The people spoke against God and against Moshe. This is going to become somewhat of a repetitious occurrence. You might say a broken record. They spoke against God and against Moshe. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To die in the desert? There's no real food. There's no water. And we're sick of this miserable stuff we're eating. Speaking of the manna. Now they had food and they had water. The issue was they became tired of trusting God to provide those things. They just wanted to have what they needed without consulting God, or without relying on him. The water came from the rock. That rock was Messiah. The manna came from heaven, settled on the ground every day with the dew from heaven. But they were required to keep on trusting God. In response, verse 6, Adonai sent poisonous snakes among the people. They bit the people, and many of Israel's people died. Again, the actions of God in sending the snakes, of dealing with his people, it's discipline. It's just as a parent would discipline a child when they're young, when they're learning. He did this to save them, to grow them, to make them stronger, as we are going to see. Verse 7, the people came to Moshe and said, "We sinned by speaking against Adonai and against you. Pray to Adonai that he rid us of these snakes." Moshe prayed for the people. And Adonai answered Moshe, "Make a poisonous snake and put it on a pole. When anyone who has been bitten sees it, he will live." And the essence of the phrase, "sees it," whoever sees it, is speaking of them looking to it in faith, not just glancing, but looking to it as the answer to their problem, looking to it to be saved. Moshe, verse 9, made a bronze snake and put it on the pole. If a snake had bitten someone, then when he looked to or looked toward the bronze snake, he looked to it. In other words, again, he put his faith in it. When he looked to the bronze snake, he stayed alive. His life was spared. God made a way for people to be saved. As unusual as it must have seemed, you mean, if I just trust in God's method of saving me? You mean that's all I need to do is put my trust in a bronze snake on a pole? Of course, much later, that snake on the pole would become the symbol of the American Medical Association and just in general used to symbolize healing from medicine and through medicine. But if a snake had bitten someone, then when he looked toward the bronze snake, he stayed alive. Now for Christians, this is very significant. Why? Because Yeshua himself quoted this and pointed toward this verse in Numbers. In one of the most well-known passages in all of the New Testament, John 3, 15 and 16, Yeshua said, "Just as Moshe lifted up the serpent or the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life." The snake was elevated, lifted up on a pole. Yeshua says he must be lifted up on a pole. And of course, John 3:16, maybe the most well-known verse in the Bible, is really connected to this story we're reading in Numbers chapter 21. Yeshua said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed." The serpent on the pole is a foreshadowing of the coming Messiah, who also would be lifted up. And by putting our trust, looking to him, And that method, God's way, God's determined plan, we are saved. People will ask, well, why did Yeshua liken himself to a snake on a pole? Good question. The Rabbi Shaul answers that question in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He said, God made him who had no sin, that's Yeshua, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, so completely consumed by our sins was our Messiah that he actually became sin. There's no more perfect picture of sin in the Bible than the symbol of a snake, the serpent in the Garden of Eden, as Satan appeared as. So completely consumed by our sin that Yeshua became sin on our behalf. This is Torah 101 every day.